I'm Tara.
And I'm Ashley.
Each week, two movies battle it out in a bracket-style competition to find the ultimate romantic comedy.
This is The Trope Report. Hey, Ash.
Hey, Tara.
This week, we're discussing The Hating Game versus 50 First Dates.
Wait, Tara. What happened to Nick and Nora's infinite polygamous?
So, don't come at us like we didn't want to watch this. We literally couldn't find it anywhere. We couldn't purchase it. It's not on Prime.
I've never seen a movie not be on Amazon Prime for rent or buy.
Jeff Bezos.
Not available.
What are you doing? Do you have something against this movie?
Maybe like him and Michael Cera have beef that we don't know about. Like,
yeah. So we had to do a last minute switch, and we just had to find something that was similar in Rotten Tomato scores so it would match up correctly. So we switched in for The Hating Game, which I had never seen. Which did you?
I had seen once.
Okay.
A while ago. I didn't really remember it, though.
Okay. So, kind of fresh and new. It was fun. But that's what's up, people.
Well, so Nick and Nora's was a 75%. The Hating Game is replacing them with the sixth seed and a 71%, which that's higher than I was expecting.
Yeah. Yeah. 50 First Dates is an 11 seed. Wait. What?
Yeah.
With a 45%? Wait, that makes no sense. Are people judging Adam Sandler?
50 First Dates is a classic, but you have to admit some of it did not age well.
But yeah, but like, okay, wait, let's just get into it. What are we doing first?
Do we want to start with 50 First Dates?
Sure.
Since it's the classic.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, and that's me, right? Okay. Okay, guys. Set in beautiful Hawaii, Drew Barrymore plays Lucy, a young woman who has short-term amnesia, so she repeats the same day every day. Henry, played by Adam Sandler, is a player who usually sticks to tourists so he doesn't have to commit. But when he sees Lucy in a cafe, he is instantly smitten. As he navigates her unique condition, he overcomes his commitment issues. This is 50 First Dates.
So good. This movie, like, let's just jump right into the controversy. Yes, some parts don't age well, specifically, what is his name? Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider plays a Hawaiian man. There's skin darkening. There's an accent.
Okay. Yeah, it's just a lot. And honestly, I didn't find it funny at all. And there was other parts that I really, truly didn't find funny. I think Adam has improved his craft in that part.
Yeah.
But I think I can overlook everything by how amazing the rest of this
movie is. The romance in this movie is insane.
Oh, my God.
Okay, another, while we're just getting the problematic stuff out the way, there's a part where Adam Sandler is talking about how, like, he goes on a date with a woman. And she's like, oh, I'm kind of starting to feel the drinks. And he's like, no, you're not. I've been giving you virgin cocktails. And I'm like, oh, this guy's actually a class act.
He's like, okay, you're concerning me because at this part, until now, I didn't think anything of this. Okay.
No, I was just like, because he starts to say his reason and he's like, I didn't want you to get too drunk. And so I'm like, oh, okay. So he wants women to be able to consent to him. But no, his reason is so that they don't get too sleepy during the sex that they're having.
Yeah, I guess I should like, have, that should have had a red flag for me. But
and also, why does Adam Sandler keep writing himself as a player? Because he writes these movies, right?
Maybe he wants to be a player so badly, but he just doesn't come off like that.
Every movie, it's like women can't say no to him. Like, he is the stud of the town. Every woman can't get enough from him.
Hey, like, you know what? He wants the regular guy to just think that they can have it all, I guess. Although that's the last thing guys need.
He's like, regular guys can be dicks too. But yeah, the opening scene is all these girls talking about him, like, oh, he showed me the most amazing time while I was in Hawaii. Yeah. Like, I can't get over Henry. Like, what?
Okay.
How is Adam Sandler landing these women?
Okay. If he does anything coming close to what he does for Drew, I completely understand why. He is the most romantic that he's ever been in any movie or anything I've ever seen him ever. He dedicates his whole life to just being there for her every day, even though she doesn't remember him. It is just so romantic.
It is the saddest premise ever. He sees Drew Barrymore in this cafe, and she is, oh, she's glowing. She's golden with blonde hair.
I mean, we've said this before. We've said this before. She is so cute in all of these movies.
She is the most adorable person I've ever seen. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you can just tell she's the sweetest girl in the world.
Yeah.
She has her waffles, and she's making a little log cabin out of them, a little house out of them.
I mean, to me, it's kind of just like, why, though? Like,
who doesn't love a girl that plays with her food?
No, you're getting your grimy fingers all over. No, thank you. Why, okay, you playing with your food? Are you playing with your food?
You're going to hate this about me since you just said this, but growing up and to this day, if I make myself pancakes or waffles at home, I do not use a fork and knife.
With fucking syrup all over your hands? Like a monster?
Okay, calm down. I put syrup on the side and then I rip my pancakes.
Say that again. What did you say? What was it?
I put syrup on the side.
Sorry, what was that?
How do you pronounce it?
Sir.
Don't make fun of my culture. My accent.
What are you doing that's going to disgust me?
I put syrup on the side, and then I rip my pancakes with my fingers, and I dip it like that. I eat it with my hands. I think it tastes better that way.
Well, okay, one thing about me is I don't really like pancakes or waffles anyway to begin with. So I just prefer a savory breakfast or like a yogurt.
I usually go a savory breakfast as well. But I get in a certain mood. Usually it's at night that I'll eat pancakes or waffles.
I would say twice a year I get a ginormous craving for pancakes.
Yes.
Never a waffle, but pancakes. And then the next day I have to make them for breakfast. And I have one and I'm like, okay, that satisfied me. I don't know why I made this whole stack of 20. Mm. I don't need this. I'm grossed out now. I don't want them anymore. And then I like waits till another year. And then I crave them again.
Like, IHOP was the go-to late-night hang, you know, in high school.
Oh, yeah.
So you would go late at night and get a stack of pancakes and just chow down on them. I will say, if I'm going to a restaurant for breakfast, I do prefer savory, but I love chicken and waffles. Like, it's one of my favorite breakfasts. If it's on the menu, I'm probably getting it.
So I didn't have that for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And I forget when I recently, like within the last couple of years, I finally had chicken and waffles. And it's good.
Amazing.
I would never think to get it. I would say we would do mostly like diner. And at a diner, I'm getting an omelet with hash browns or rye toast with endless pours of coffee that's burnt, but I just mean, delicious.
Okay. Anyways. So she's making her house and Adam Sandler walks over and says, if you put a toothpick through the door, it's like a hinge and your door can open and close. And it's adorable.
Basically, they hit it off immediately and it's like sparks flying. It's like the best first date that they could ever have. Mm-hmm. They're adorable together, vibing. They leave and it's so cute.
And they're like,
they ask each other out kind of, right?
Yeah. Like, I'll see you right back here for breakfast tomorrow.
Yeah.
So they make plans for the next day.
But then the cutest part, they catch each other dancing.
Oh, my
gosh,
like, yes.
They're happy dancing because they both, like, they're like, yeah, I have a second date.
A car moves, and you see both of them were happy dancing from
It's the cutest thing.
So cute. But the next day, he goes to meet her, and as he's walking over to say hi, the kitchen staff stops him. So there's a waitress and the cook. They're Lucy's
family.
You
love these people?
They are such good characters. They, like, you just feel like you're wrapped up in a hug when they're on screen.
Totally.
They're such caring people, and they pull him to the side, and tell them about Lucy and why he can't go up and talk to her right now. Because every day repeats itself. Basically, yeah. When she goes to sleep, the same day starts over because she was in a car accident. What was it, a year ago?
I think a year ago, yeah.
Yeah. And so she doesn't know who he is, doesn't remember him.
He tries it out anyway. He tries to go up and pick her up, and she's like, get away from me. She's disgusted. Then he keeps trying to go back and pick her up, right?
He enters a bet with the cook. And so every day he goes and tries to pick her up time after time and doesn't work. And the cook's racking up dollars because he's winning the bet.
But isn't this just like, oh my God, when it just like happened, it was just like love at first sight. It just worked out so nicely, that first meeting. It's just like, oh, it just makes you giddy. And then it's like, why is she rejecting him every other time? I guess because he's trying too hard or something. I don't know. He's trying to pull out all these different liners.
It kind of makes sense because it's like when you wake up on the right side of the bed and you're just having one of those days where you're feeling good, you're more receptive to like a man coming up to you and talking to you. And then there's those days where you're like, I don't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah.
And you're just not in the mindset. So he caught her in a good mindset the first day.
Yeah,
and
then she's the not in a good mindset.
She's pretending to not speak English.
Yes, yeah.
And the thing that finally gets her to say yes again
Like, what is this? But go ahead.
He pretends he can't read the menu and he starts having a breakdown.
This was kind of cute, but it was also bordering on too much for me. But it was...
Oh, yeah.
It was,
it's too much.
I let it slide.
But it was funny. It was more funny than it was cute. But because
That's what I mean. It was like, it was bordering on being not funny, but it was just towing the line enough where I was like, I'll let it slide because it's kind of cute that they are just cute. But otherwise, if it wasn't the right people, I think I'd be disgusted because he's hysterically crying. Like, he can't read the menu.
It's Adam Sandler trying to pronounce the word pancake for a couple minutes.
Yeah.
But it gets her talking to him, and they, you know, rekindle the romance a little. You know, they're feeling each other again.
Yeah.
And afterwards, he knows he can't ask her out for another date because she's not going to remember this tomorrow. So he doesn't. Yeah. And she's like, why didn't you ask me out? You just pretended not to know how to read for the past hour and a half, and you're not going to ask me out? So she was on to him the whole time.
So this is when the dad and the brother intervene, and they're like, you can't go to the cafe anymore. And he's kind of devastated by this. His coworker is kind of like, I don't know, like, this was also not funny. Really, anything that was supposed to be extra funny in this movie, I didn't find funny. And the thing that saved it is because it's their romance. So the coworker who they constantly joke is a man or a woman, and she's trying to hook up with the other woman. I didn't understand the coworker. But she tells him, well, if the dad and the brother said don't meet her at the cafe, then just meet her outside the cafe. So now he goes on a whole montage of trying to pick her up every day on the side of a road. And he's doing outrageous things here. But this is, it's funnier.
It's an adorable montage. It's a beautiful scenery.
Yes. Because
it's
Hawaii.
The hills of Hawaii.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. And so he's pretending to get kidnapped. He's puts one of his penguins out on the road.
Yeah.
So adorable. But I will say, would you have pulled over in any of these scenarios to talk to him?
Maybe if I was in Hawaii and I was a little hippie like her, but...
So, like, for example, one of them is his Rob Schneider pretending to beat him up. And she gets out of her car and starts beating Rob Schneider.
I would never. I would obviously.
Are you doing this?
I would never pull over for anyone. Sorry. If you see me passing, I'm not pulling. If you need help on the side of the road, I'm not pulling over.
Exactly.
But if she's a free spirit, this is Hawaii. Maybe they do that out there. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not pulling over for a man. Maybe a woman.
Maybe that homeless woman that you picked up in the other episode that you had to explain. But she, this is another reason they're drawn to each other, okay? She's constantly pulling over for him.
First of all, I just want to say that this dad and brother are the real MVP of this.
Yes.
Because for a year, they've been reliving the same day over
but
and over
again.
But
it also seems psychotic. I mean, it's a hard situation, right?
Yeah, like, it's a hard situation. They think that this is the easiest on her.
Yeah. Like, how would you deal with this?
So I don't much. Because the day that's being repeated is her dad's birthday. Yes. So she gives him a birthday present, which is The Sixth Sense. So they watch The Sixth Sense every single night.
Yeah, that's torture.
And then I didn't understand why he... I didn't really understand why he repaints the garage white every night so that he can have her paint a mural on it each day.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't have to do that, but maybe he just enjoys seeing her happy and painting.
Yeah. I think she's most happiest doing that because she can't be an art teacher anymore because she lost her memory. So maybe this is his way of being like, go do this, and at least you're kind of still keeping that part of you. It does seem like the biggest hassle to paint a room every single night, to watch The Sixth Sense, to eat birthday cake. I love birthday cake. I don't want that every night. Like, it just seems like torture for them. They watch the
same
basketball
game every night.
Probably part of him, because he was the one driving the car. So, of course, he's going to be like, partially my fault. I need to do all of these things, keep her life like perfectly how it was. And, you know, he doesn't want to change anything. So,
but it's just so depressing.
I get it. But yes, it's so depressing. So,
but anyway, so the dad talks to Adam Sandler again, and he tells him this cute story about the mom and how they had this special song, and Drew Barrymore would send him away on fishing trips with this song loaded on a CD so that he would listen to it and want to come home faster.
Yeah.
And she would sing that song on the days that she saw Adam Sandler. Yeah. So he's like, clearly you make my girl happy. Let's find a way to make this happen. And so they make a video slash journal where she writes down all of her dates with Adam Sandler. And so they're essentially dating at this point.
Yeah.
But she does have to learn about it new every single day. And that's why the movie's called 50 First Dates. Because every day they go on a first date together. And they have a first kiss. And she's always like, there's nothing better than a first kiss.
Yeah. It's really heartbreaking to see her watch this video because it's explaining everything. But Adam's like, I just wanted to try it once just to see, like, is there a better way of doing this? And she finds out, and obviously she's devastated, but she goes through that day and they actually have a good day. Like, she realizes what's happened to her and she's like, okay. Mm-hmm. And he says, like, we're dating, and they just enjoy each other's companies. Then they kind of get past that initial part and then go on and enjoy themselves. But when do they go to the doctor and see 10 Second Tom? That is like, can you even imagine? Like, this whole time you're thinking, wow, like, I can't believe it with her. This is so, like, upsetting. Mm-hmm. This is so sad that she loses her memory every single night. 10 Second Tom is literally every 10 seconds. He's forgetting.
It's so crazy.
It's insane.
What's weird about it is that that is supposed to be a comedy piece in the movie.
It's
but you're
so
just
sad.
So depressed.
Yes.
You're just so sad.
It totally.
And also, they go to this doctor, and they do kind of use it as a comedy piece because all the patients are kooky, quirky.
Yeah.
But it also is like, oh, there's no hope for her. They go in hopes that there's going to be a cure or a way to fix this or a therapy that they can do. And they're like, no, this is just, you know, how she's going to be.
This is how it's going to be every day. I do think that it helps her a little bit. I mean, though she's just going to forget it. She does put things into perspective, and she's like, wow, I have an entire day, whereas this guy has 10 seconds. Like, at least I have a whole day that I could be living.
I need to make the most of my day.
So they kind of go, and they have, like, a little dating montage, right? Where they're just
where they go
romping
on
around and having a good time.
Different date. But at the same time, you can see that their relationship is progressing because now they bring some of her old friends back into the picture.
Yes.
That she hasn't been able to see in forever because she's been living the same Sunday over and over again.
Yeah.
And so he gets to meet her friends. She gets to meet his friends. So it does feel like the relationship is progressing, even though they start brand new every day.
Which is hard to imagine, right? Like, I know that you could update the tape, but just being from her perspective, like, to wake up every day, be told what your life is, and then immediately have to jump into it seems crazy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then we see kind of the drawbacks that it's going to have in the relationship because they're making out, and Adam Sandler's like, tries to cop a feel, and she's like, whoa, we just met.
Yeah.
And he tells her, we've made out 30-something, 50 times.
Yeah.
So in my head, it's progressed more than this.
Yeah.
And so she's kind of starting to absorb that. And then that night they do end up having sex, but they sleep together and they wake up with her in bed with someone that she's never met before.
Yes.
And she screams, and they have to explain this whole thing over again in such a traumatic way. Yeah. And it's just like, how is this relationship going to work?
Well,
there's so many difficulties.
For a period of time, you don't think it's going to work because she says that she's going to erase him. She keeps a journal. Every single day she'll write in it, which, like, if she is keeping a journal where she writes in it, when did she start doing this? Because then she would have noticed that she's living the same day over and over again if she...
Well, she started that because they told her to.
Oh, okay. Okay.
When they made the video, they were like, you need to write down how you're feeling about this guy every day.
Okay, which is smart.
So that you can read your own thoughts.
Yeah, and, so smart.
Yeah.
So she's basically like, I see that I'm holding you back.
His big dream in life is to sail to Antarctica, and she overhears him saying that he's not going to do that anymore because Lucy needs him.
Yeah.
So that's why she decides to erase herself.
It's so sad because they do it together, and he was like, he has to respect her wishes, but he doesn't want it, obviously. And literally, they have to rewrite all of her journal, and it's so upsetting. And they have one last first kiss or whatever, one last kiss, I don't know. And then he just knows, like, they leave, of course, downpour trope, raining, dramatic, one last kiss, he leaves. And you know that's it, and it's so sad. But I really like how the brother and the dad stay friends with him. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? So, like, I don't know.
He's side earned characters. The respect because they're going, it's almost like a trauma bond.
Yeah.
They're going through all of this together, and they have this one person that they care about, and they're making all these sacrifices for. So he definitely earned their respect.
Yeah.
But... So he is like, all right, I'm off on my trip to Antarctica, and he starts to sail away, and the dad gave him a CD with, wouldn't it
be nice
if we were older,
the Beach Boys.
We wouldn't have to wait.
But he also
which is the song,
says,
which is a callback.
Yes.
That I never, like, picked up on before.
Really? But it's also, he said right before he set sail, he said she started singing again, that song. Mm-hmm. Which, why would she be singing that song again? Because she erased him from the journal. They haven't been seeing each other. She shouldn't know him. Then why is she singing again? Which she only sings when she meets him. So Adam immediately turns that sucker around, races back. Because he's like, oh my God, she must remember me. And that's the dad's way of telling me. How freaking romantic.
I mean, it's so romantic.
Come on. Like, even literally losing your memory, you have that bond. You forget everything, but you're still remembering him.
Yeah. I mean, I almost want to see this movie in a Nicholas Sparks style.
Yes.
Don't
but,
you?
But like, that might be almost too sad, really. Come on.
I mean, but Nicholas Sparks has done sad stuff before, and we eat it up.
No, but that's what I'm saying is that, like, Nicholas might make it too sad that I can't even stomach it. I don't know. Maybe. I can only watch The Notebook every so often because I'm sobbing at the end.
Yeah, but you know it just puts you right in that mood.
I know.
I'm just saying. It's a great Nicholas Sparks premise. He should get on this. We should do a Nicholas Sparks bracket.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Wait, that's a really good idea. All right. Okay, continue.
Okay.
Races back, goes to the clinic because she's living at the clinic now.
Yes. And she's the art teacher there, which is so adorable.
Adorable.
And he walks up to her and asks her if she remembers him.
Do you know me? No, she don't.
No.
You're devastated momentarily until she brings him into her little art gallery. And it's all pictures of him that she's painted. And she's like, I don't know you, but somehow I know you because subconsciously I've been drawing you. And there's like hundreds of pictures of him. Oh my God.
It's so cute.
I think, what, do they just make out?
Yeah, I think they just kiss out. They make out after that. And then it cuts to... her waking up and a new video plays.
Yeah.
And they have a kid.
This was crazy.
To Antarctica, which this is absolutely insane. I mean, can you imagine having a daughter and your mom doesn't know who you are every morning?
But hello, waking up in Antarctica. Who wants to be in Antarctica? Oh, yeah. It's freezing.
Yeah, it's that she walks outside and it's ice everywhere.
I mean, it's a cherry on top. I mean, like, get me out of here. I'm from Hawaii.
That's so true. She's from Hawaii. She's never experienced snow before.
I will say, though, I was crying at this last scene because even the dad's on the boat with them. It's just so beautiful. They're one big happy family. Like, she at least feels grounded, I think, because the dad's there still. So, like, she watches the video.
I think they have to have the dad.
They have to have the dad there. Yeah, he's got
Which is sad because they're always also going to have to live with the dad or brother.
But, like, that's kind of fun. I think.
Okay.
But I was crying during this. So, like, it's happy tears, but it's also kind of sad. I don't know. It's, like, it's a lot of emotions in this movie that will definitely play a factor in the scoring.
Yeah.
But definitely. 47% on Rotten Tomatoes, I don't agree with that. I think this is a beautiful movie. I think this should be higher.
Yeah, I think the romance is pretty top tier in this movie. I would like, say. It's just such a romantic premise that someone would sacrifice so much.
Completely.
For a girl that forgets who you are.
Yep.
Every day.
He has to prove his love every single day to her. It's just, that's exhausting.
He has to make her fall in love with him every single day.
That's exhausting, and I'm just so impressed with him. Really. Yeah. So, high points for romance on my part. High points.
Agreed, agreed.
Okay, let's get into the hating game.
Okay, so what did you think about this? Because I've been wondering.
I thought this was like so... Wait, hello, synopsis. I have to do my synopsis.
Oh, sorry, yes.
Okay, here we go. Two people couldn't embody the opposites attract trope more in this fun, flirty, and dare I say sexy romantic comedy? Lucy and Joshua. What is that from? Joshua.
That is from something. Maybe
we'll come back to it.
We'll come back to it.
Their arch nemesis are forced to work across from each other when their two publishing houses merge. No one in the office can stand their screaming matches, and they have even been complained. Why are you laughing at me?
I'm not laughing at you. I'm just thinking about how unhinged it is that they put the two people screaming at each other every day in the same office. And also that people staring, are screaming at each other at work.
Yes, staring across the whole day staring across. Okay, wait, almost done. They even have been complained to HR multiple times. But are their battles just for show to hide the true feelings that are under the surface? Yes, and everyone knows it. Yeah. The movie is, this is how I felt about it. I loved it.
Well, we really are just two giggling girls.
But that's the thing. I love a giggly movie. And when I find a new movie that I've never seen before and I'm giggly giddy, like it's just fun. I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm totally enjoying it. It's everything that I need. I don't even know if I'll like rewatch it. It's, you know what I mean? Like, or maybe in a while. Like, these fun, giggly movies. I just watched that.
I think I would in a while.
But I just watched that one, Upgraded on Prime, right? It's like, those are those type of movies that are so, you know exactly what's happening, but there's a comfort in that. You're just cozy on the couch, watching, having a good time. And, like, you'll throw it back on in maybe a year or two. You know what I mean? But it's just, it's so giggly fun.
Exactly.
That's how I felt about this. I was like, why haven't I seen this before? Because this is something that's right up my alley. I loved how it brought in, like I said, it was a little bit sexier. It's crazy.
Doesn't it feel like one of our romance books?
Yes. Okay.
Ladies out there, if you read any of those romance novels, they all follow the exact same.
Everyone does.
Okay, well, we didn't know about them until recently.
I know. Apparently, there's this whole thing where people are
doing
this.
We were late to the game.
Someone should have pulled us aside and told us. Because these books are great.
It really embodies all the tropes that you see in those.
They do it in a way that's a little bit more low-key, but they definitely pull from that type of feel.
I wish that they had gone even more into it.
That's what I thought, too.
R.
That's what I thought, too.
It's is rated R already, like, you might as well
Let's get into this. So when we first see them, it's immediate sexual tension, okay? Because you have the two of them sitting across from each other. They hate each other. They're two very good-looking people staring each other down.
Hot, hot, hot.
They despise each other. They couldn't be more opposites. You see her whole side of the office is just, like, fun.
Colorful. Colors, bubbly.
Yeah, like, she's decorating for Christmas. Mm. He is cold, harsh. He doesn't decorate at all. Everything's all black and white. And he only wears blue button downs. Okay. So they're staring at each other and they have daggers. But mm-hmm. everything is indicating that they're obsessed with each other at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, of course. It's so obvious. So, like, you just know exactly what's going to happen between these two, but you're loving the ride, okay?
The journey.
So, let me get to my notes, just because I closed everything out. I was so excited for this. Okay,
I mean, I'll start off a little bit. Go. So, there's another guy at work that clearly has a crush on her.
Yes. So awkward. Why does the, like, cute little nerdy guy always have to finish last?
I know.
I hate it.
I think they made him too nice for him to not get a happy ending. At least show us.
And you know
at
what?
At least show us him find someone.
Yes,
you know?
And that's the thing with most romantic comedies is usually the friends get together and that's what we love to see. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen in this case.
She didn't really have a quirky friend, honestly.
They really made her out to be a loner. Both of them were kind of loners.
Yeah, they were both loners.
I kind of thought that was, I don't know.
But anyway, so she has a sex dream about Joshua.
Yeah.
And she's feeling very weird about it.
No, wait, this is what I was going to say. Because this is very early on that this happens and we see this. This scene was exactly like the books, if people know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
And if I was like, whoa, we're starting out with this. Giddy up. Uh-huh. Here we go. This is exciting. Like, I was like, this is going to be good. But they don't follow through with it that much.
No, they don't. Which, again, I'm like, if you're going to make it rated R.
Yes.
Go all in on it. Because already you're alienating a portion of the audience that's too young for this.
Yes.
This felt too PG-13 to be a rated R movie.
Completely agree with you.
But anyway, so she has a steamy sex scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sex dream about him. And she's feeling a little weird about it. So she puts on a hot dress.
How crazy is that she wakes up
her
from this.
Her reaction
is to wear, like, a really skimpy little thing. Like, it's like, what?
Yeah. She's like, oh, no. I'm, like, he's getting in my head.
Yeah.
This is her thought process in my mind.
Yeah.
He's getting in my head, so I need to get in his head back.
Yeah.
Like, I'm having sex dreams about him. He needs to be...
I guess that's true. That's true.
Revenge.
That's true. Yeah.
So she's trying to get into his head. So she wears... Which, it's not that sexy of an outfit.
No, because it's still
long sleeves. Black long-sleeve dress.
But she did pull it off very well.
And heels.
Yeah.
And so she goes in, immediately he takes attention to this.
Yeah. Because he's obsessed. Interested. He's obsessed.
And she's like, oh, well, I actually have a date tonight, and that's why I look so good.
Yeah, she's like, oh, where are you going? Ass. She doesn't have a date.
Where are you going? I'm going there too, actually. And so she's panicking.
Going to the AC at 7 p.m. Oh, I'm going there too.
Because he's going to be there, which he's just going... He thinks this is all a little game that they're playing.
Yes.
Which I guess that's why it's called the hating game.
All they were doing was playing games, Ash, and they constantly, they're like, are we playing the staring game? Are you playing the hating game? Are you playing blah, blah, blah?
Yeah. So he thinks that this is all a little game.
Yeah.
So he's like, yeah, I'm going to be there too. But she thinks this is real. So she needs to get a date fast so it doesn't look like she's lying. So she takes nice guy. Let me look up his name.
Poor guy. Because
we're going to be talking about him.
Poor guy.
Danny? Yeah, Danny.
That doesn't even ring a bell. They really should have built out his character a little bit more.
So she takes sweet Danny.
Yeah.
She's going to take him on a date. But they get...
What?
They're in an... the elevator.
Oh my god, how did I forget about this? Oh my god.
Before going to the date. And he stops the elevator. Yeah. And he's like,
anytime, if anyone's learned anything from Grey's Anatomy, everything happens in an elevator. And whenever you pull the stop on the elevator,
can you just stop an elevator like this?
I don't know. Should we try it?
Should we try this? but he confronts her. He's like, what game are we playing where we hate each other? And she isn't onto the game yet.
No.
She thinks, we just hate each other. This is real.
Yeah.
But then they have a hot makeout session.
Oh, my God. Fantastic. And he's like, it's pouring rain. I have to drive you to the AC since we're both going there at 7 p.m. And so then they're in the car. But, like, I forget what they say back and forth, but it gets her to storm out of the car. They're, like, a block away, right? And she's drenched when she runs into the to the place. And, or, like, she's literally wringing out her hair. I don't know how this is even possible to get this wet. But she meets Danny, and he tells her that she's beautiful, and he's the really sweet, nice guy.
The date actually goes really well.
They are clicking. Don't you think? They're BFFs.
Yeah. She grew up on a strawberry farm, because of course.
Who wouldn't grow up on a strawberry farm?
And he also grew up on a farm.
Which,
and so,
wait, let's talk about for 1 second. I'm so sorry to interrupt. So he calls, not Danny, I don't even remember the other guy's name, the love interest. What's his name?
Joshua.
Oh, yeah. Duh. Joshua. He calls her shortcake. And
oh, yes, as in strawberry shortcake.
Yeah, and, like, I get where he's getting it from, and she's also short, but it's like, I don't like this.
I don't love it. I don't know. I think a variation of this name would have been good, but the one he settled on, shortcake,
or maybe isn't. It's even the way he delivers it. Like, something's not clicking with that for me that I don't like.
No.
I don't like it.
Okay, shortcake.
Yeah.
I almost think he's calling her short stack, which I don't know if that would be better, maybe.
Is that referring to pancakes again? Circling full circle here?
But I feel like I've heard short stack thrown around more.
Maybe.
I've never heard shortcake.
Okay, none of it sounds good to me. Like,
I do think a pet name can really ruin a book for me.
Yeah.
Like, Fourth Wing, whenever Zayden would call Violet Violence, that was his pet name
for
her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, it takes me out of it.
Yeah, I completely agree, because it's just, it doesn't flow. You need something that's gonna be, like,
honestly, just stick to the classics.
That's what I was gonna say.
I think.
That's what I was gonna say.
Or a shortened version of their name or something.
Yeah, like, you know? It should just be Vi for Violet's case. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Lucy Liu.
Yeah. Well, Lucy Liu is a person. So maybe that.
Well, I meant for Lucy.
It should be Liu. Yeah.
Or Lulu. Yeah. Or something.
Yeah. Just not short.
But that's that on that.
Yeah. Okay.
But the date seems to go really well, we think.
Yeah.
And the next day, she gets flowers that she thinks from Danny.
Oh, my God. And the flowers say, "You're always beautiful." Okay? Keep that in mind, people. Keep that in mind.
This will come back later.
Yeah.
And we forgot to mention that their two bosses are also warring.
Yeah.
Don't get along enemies.
Yeah.
But
they're just, anyways, like, so not interesting to me.
And the two of them are fighting for a position at work.
That's the whole point of this movie we forgot to
mention.
That's
the whole thing.
Yeah.
Is that there is this new executive position, and it's down to the two of them, basically.
Yeah. Why?
And they've made a pact that if the other one wins, they're going to quit.
Yeah. Let me ask you, why did they feel the need to include that she's obsessed with Smurfs? I didn't understand.
Yes, that was such a weird detail. She writes Smurf fan fiction?
Literally.
Is that what we would call it?
Yes. They bring it up, like, one or two times. But I'm like, why are we watching?
They show her writing it.
Why are we watching her, like,
I didn't like that.
I didn't like it. It made me uncomfortable.
I think it was an unnecessary detail.
I didn't like it.
I think the author of this book is probably a well-known Wattpad writer or something.
What's that?
And so Wattpad is like a fan fiction site.
Okay.
It's like what, you know, the After movies?
Oh, yes.
How I told you it's based on Harry Styles fan fiction?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Wattpad is where they publish all the fan fiction.
So maybe, okay, that's a shout out maybe or something.
I don't know if it's a shout out.
I don't know.
I haven't read After, but Paris said it's good. So
it has to be good. No, me and Gabby love the After ones. I told
you. No, she read the book.
Oh, no. We didn't read the books.
And I'm saying, so if Wattpad is producing good books, it must be pretty good.
Okay.
But it's all fan, you know, fans just write it on their own time, no publisher.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Anyways. In between, though, of like someone that decided to pick it up and write the movie about it. I don't know, coming straight from the source, I don't know if I would like that.
I don't know, I didn't read it. Can't vouch. But anyway, so she had suggested some activity, but they go with his, which is team bonding paintball, which, you know, I love a paintball day.
But that's just me. We know this about me. We know this about her.
We know this about us.
Opposites attract, Ash. It's well established.
It's well established because there's so many paintball scenes in rom-coms. Yeah. That's what I'm realizing.
Yeah.
And we always come back to this. And what I didn't like about the scene was that it was the middle of winter, so you couldn't really see who was who. They're bundled up.
Yes, okay. What I realized is that I think I like a rom-com scent in the summer. This whole thing spanned the winter. And I think that it works for a Christmas movie or a holiday movie. But I don't know if it works for just... Like, I want to see New York City in the summer.
If it's a nice setting, like the other Zoe, it takes place at a ski resort.
True.
I'm down for that.
True.
Cozy vibes. But this is them running around playing paintball in the snow. It's not even a cute snowball.
They're just
fight.
Living and their lives in the cold, and no one wants
and
to
they're
see
wearing,
that.
They're wearing like goggles and hats. So during the scene, you just can't really see who's who or who's talking.
Yeah.
So it's all a little confusing. But it does have a cute scene because he chooses the teams. He chooses her to be on his team.
Obsessed.
And then he uses his body to shield her from paintballs.
It had to be done. If it didn't happen, it would be a waste of a paintball scene if it didn't happen.
A waste of a paintball scene.
Yeah.
I love that. It's the closest we can get to him taking a bullet for her.
We love that. We love that. Okay. But then she throws up on him all of a sudden.
Because they did lay this out before they start paintball. He's like, "Shortcake, you look pale."
Oh, see, I hate it even burning when up. You say it. I can't listen.
No one can pull this off.
No.
But so I did like that he's attentive and he took notice that she was not looking well.
Yeah.
And so she immediately throws up all over him and he takes her home and takes care of her. And I was thinking this is a great scene for the two of us because both of us have acts of service as one of our top love languages.
Yes. Of course, I want to just be literally...
I was swooning over this.
Yeah, I want to be swaddled and carried around my place. I don't want to have to lift a finger. I want you to bring me
tea. I never
want to
touch the ground.
Yes. No, completely. But I did think that it was weird that he, like, stayed so long and was doing so much. Like,
I thought it was
sweet.
It
gets to a point where I'm like, now leave me alone.
But it was so clear during the scene that
he's
so far in love
with
her.
Obsessed. He's looking through her stuff to find out more about her. Like, this really nailed it home. Like, he is in love with her. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't see
he
it.
Brings...
I mean, he's... But she's sick. So she doesn't see that side of him that we see, you know?
He brings his brother over to check her out, which I think that was a little overkill.
Okay, see, this is what I'm talking about. He, like, stayed so long
and
did so much.
But
she wasn't even that sick.
No, she wasn't. She probably had, like, food poisoning or something.
Yes.
But...
And he's bringing
but
in,
it is
like
oh my gosh,
surgeon. He was a surgeon.
He is so overly concerned for her that it is sweet, though, where he's just so worried. He's like, is she okay?
Fine, yeah.
But they do have a sweet moment where he sits on the couch and they have kind of a talk about how he's like, I've never hated you, not one second.
Oh, my God. I love it. I love it. I love it.
Okay.
So in the morning when they get back to the office, like, oh, you know what? I think he oversteps because I think he's there when she wakes up and she's like, what are you even doing here still? Like, this is crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she snaps at him a little
drives bit. Him off a little bit, which I'm kind of like, I agree with you, but also he just sacrificed hours of his life to be
well,
there.
Well, he was cleaning up her apartment because it was like a mess.
Yeah.
And she's not everyone. It's like, yeah, you are.
Is she? But I'm like, anyways. Okay, he really did help you, but whatever. Back at the office, she gets strawberry juice at her desk, right?
What is strawberry juice? I've never heard of this.
Okay, before. I've never had strawberry juice in my life, but she has it.
I've never seen it at a store.
Never.
Somehow he found it.
Never. And then there's a note attached to it from him, and that's when she puts it together, and she's like, oh, my God. You sent me the roses that said you're always beautiful.
Yep.
If you weren't swooning before, you are swooning now. Oh, and so to get to make it up to him, she says, I'm sorry that I drove you away, like, out of my apartment. This was so nice. Let me go to your brother's wedding. I heard that you have to go to this and you don't want to go. I'll be your date. And that's my way of getting even with you. But they're doing this in the closet or no?
Yeah. And then they have, is this when they have the, where she goes back to his apartment for the first,
oh, no, the here's closet what happens. Scene.
Yes, but that's the end of the closet scene, right?
No. Ash. Oh, what? My God. They're in the closet. It's always close quarters. We have an elevator. We have a closet. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, put someone in that situation. And it's 0 to 60. And so she's like, please let me pay you back. This is where she's begging him. They're in like some mop closet. And then they look like they're about to make out, right? And doesn't she say to him like, she tells him to kiss her or something, whatever. It gets steamy, but I don't think anything ever happens because he says, I'm not going to kiss you again until you tell me that I was like the best kiss of your life or something, or no one else can make you feel like this.
Well, he's like, you need to go on another date with Danny. He asks her if she's kissed him yet. Kiss him. And then if you don't feel anything, and I'm then still come what back you to want, me. Come back to me.
Yeah.
So she goes on another date with Danny. Again, they have good conversation and she kisses him. She tries again and it's just not the same.
They're
so
just friends.
Of course, she ends up at his front step. And she's debating whether to go in or not, and he walks up and finds her there. And then they go up to his place. And they start, you know, things get steamy once again. But she's seeing that he actually does like to read, and she's seeing another side to him.
He saw the side of her when he went to her apartment. Now they're getting a better look at each other since at the workplace it's just so cold
between them. She always thought they were super opposite, that he didn't enjoy reading. They work at a publishing company and she loves reading. And she sees that he has all these books. She gets a new side of him. He has these beautiful green walls. And then they start to, like, you know, get down on the bed. And she's like, this will feel so good. Just get it out of our system.
Get rid of this sexual tension and just get it over with. And I'm like, loose shortcake, are you really saying that right now? Like, why would you choose to say it at this moment? But she keeps putting her guard up, I guess, right?
She's putting her guard up.
She's just nervous. She doesn't believe that, like, they like each other, he likes her. So she's basically kind of just throwing that out there to be like, well, I don't really care about this. But that takes offense because we've seen this whole time. He is obsessed with her. He is in love with her. And he gets up and he was like, I can't do this, actually. Never mind. Now she's like, what the hell is that about? Like, you just pushed me aside.
She's mad about it. So then they go to the wedding. And, I mean, sparks are flying.
It's the classic trope. I'm sorry that you booked two rooms. We only have one. You have to share it.
With one bed.
I love it. I mean, I thought that there was going to be a little bit more buildup, but no, they cut right to it.
Yeah, well, he's like, oh, mind if I hop in the shower first? And he comes out in just a towel.
Okay, and then like, could it hang any lower? Like, he is barely, it is hanging on by a thread around his waist.
I mean, this is also classic where he opens up the towel and she's like, whoa, whoa. Like googly eyes.
That's the biggest thing I've ever seen.
It's so true. It's so true. Oh, but it really, so this is where we were talking about, it really doesn't show much though. That's kind of.
Exactly.
It just skips to,
if you're gonna, if you're gonna pay for rated R, I don't think you have to pay for it, but if you're gonna pay for it, you might as well take advantage. You,
like, yeah, go all the way. We didn't see anything.
Completely. Completely.
We just saw her Bugs Bunny reaction to it. Tomato, tomato.
They basically do it. They get to know each other. They're chatting. They skip rehearsal. You find out that they have, he has issues with, he comes from a troubled family. They're all really wealthy surgeons, but he was the only publisher and his dad hates him and blah, blah, blah. They go to the wedding, double whammy. The brother's getting married to his ex-girlfriend. Like, what? She totally left him when he decided to not be a doctor. And just went with the brother instead. So it's really kind of screwed up. And a scene that I didn't really enjoy was when was when Lucy was basically screaming at the dad in front of everyone at the wedding and was saying, yeah, like, obviously, okay, yes, she was speaking up for Joshua, who is constantly put down, mm-hmm, by the dad, and saying, like, you know, he is good enough. He does all this stuff at work. He's really smart. Mm-hmm. And I get that, but I just feel like it would have meant more if she did it in a private setting and kept it short and sweet.
Kind of ruining the wedding.
Yeah, like, she ruined the wedding. She's doing it in front of everyone, and she's drowning on and on about it. And I'm like, I'm losing interest in what you're saying. If you're going to scream at someone and, like, put them in their place, short and sweet, people, okay? You want them to be shocked and not know how to respond and then just walk away. Mm-hmm. But she's going, mm-hmm, on. She wrote a whole novel about Joshua. Mm-hmm. I think that scene could have been done better. I didn't care for it. And then they just leave the wedding.
Yeah.
And then what
happened? They peace out. And then it comes back around where he's like, how could you think that I would ever hate you? Oh, here's what happens.
Yes.
They're blissful. They're like together now. But she overhears a conversation between him and the boss that kind of makes it sound like he was using her the entire time, yeah, to get distract her, of course, from the proposal that they're supposed to be doing.
Trope miscommunication. She overhears.
Furious at him.
Yeah.
So he takes her. He's like, "You think I could hate you? Let me show you something and prove that I never hated you.
I never hated you for 1 second, and I can prove it." Direct quote.
Mm-hmm.
And
so he takes her. I think this was actually right after the wedding, maybe.
Yeah.
But anyway,
this is.
So he takes her to his room.
Yeah.
The green wall that she complimented before, and he stands her in front of a mirror with the wall in the background, and he's like, "Tell me what you see." She has, like, a beautiful green dress, like, on.
That's so broad. Why would you say that?
Only in a rom-com could you get away with that.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh, my dress matches your wall. I'm like a chameleon." And he's like, "What else doesn't match? The wall is the same color as her eyes." He literally painted his bedroom the color of her eyes.
Okay, now that be crazy. That is crazy.
Yeah, when did he paint this wall? Clearly when they still hated each other, supposedly.
Well, hello. Yeah, one of the first times that we see his place that we came back.
Yeah, like, they're still playing this game.
That's so romantic. I thought that was crazy.
Let a man paint
wall
the color of my eyes.
I'll take it, but I'm like, that's nuts.
Maybe you should show JC just that scene and be like, "So if you're thinking what color we should paint the house."
It's so good. Again, like you just said, only in a rom-com could you get away with something like that. We love it. Basically, in the end, she gets the job, and his grand romantic gesture, which I don't know how I feel about this, he just gets a new job, and, like, so she's automatically given the promotion?
Well, he says he was planning on resigning the whole time. He's had this new job lined up, and he held off so that no one else would be nominated in his stead.
I guess.
So that she wouldn't have any competition for the position.
I guess I'm just used to more of a dramatic, you know, the dramatic flair of a grand romantic, yeah, that this felt very anticlimactic.
Yeah, but I mean, it was just a misunderstanding why she was mad at him to begin with.
Yeah.
So it was just like, by the way, what you think happened didn't happen.
Yeah. It was still a very fun movie.
But yeah, then they kiss in front of the whole office, which is not my cup of tea.
No. I did think, like, that's why, like, I don't know, a grand romantic gesture in front of strangers or by yourself is more my cup of tea rather than, like,
mm-hmm,
in front of a small, quaint group of your coworkers where you're making out.
Yeah. Not for me.
Yeah, that's why I think I was left wanting a little bit more with this ending. Okay, let's just get into the ratings. Okay.
Yeah.
I truly don't even know if there's more tropes in the kissing booth than in the hate. I mean, the hating game had so many tropes.
So many.
It was chock full. We have New York City. We have opposites attract. We have they work in publishing. Both of them work in
enemies
publishing.
Enemies to lovers.
Yeah, we have a wedding.
Forced proximity.
Have to two rooms booked, had to have the one. But then also on top of that, they have to work across from each other. Like, it's just nonstop tropiness throughout this.
Miscommunication.
Miscommunication. Yes. Absolutely. I'm...
Yeah. I mean, is this a 9 or a 10?
9.5. That's what I was going to say.
Okay.
Completely. Completely. Okay. Tropes for 50 first dates.
What's that trope where she has anesthesia?
Okay.
I mean, he's a player that settles down.
That's what I was going to say. I have that. And I have that we have the kiss in the rain scene as that dramatic scene. But I kind of felt as if the whole thing was one grand romantic gesture. So that has to count for something.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that grand romantic gesture blows hating games from grand romantic. I took a new job. Gesture out of the water.
Yeah.
But it's definitely unique. So it's going to be lower. But I can only name three. But that one is major.
Maybe like a 6 or 7?
Let's do 6.5. Again, we'll split it down the middle. Okay, quality for hating game. It's not the highest quality.
No, because it is, I mean, it's corny as hell.
It really is. It's just fun, but that's lightheartedness. So honestly, quality-wise, I'm almost leaning towards like 6.
I was going to say maybe 6, 6.5.
Yeah.
Maybe 6. Six, yeah.
But yeah. Don't mean to downplay it. It's fun, but yeah. 51st dates. I mean,
here's
I know my controversial dilemma with 50. Controversial.
It's a lot of it didn't age well. I mean, none of the jokes really still hold up. Like,
I agree.
There were full characters that we just.
But why is this movie still getting to me so much?
But Drew Barrymore and Adam Sandler do have amazing chemistry in it.
Yeah.
It is a gorgeous setting. I almost think maybe this should also be a 6. Just because I do think we need to take off points for...
Okay, like, I think that's fair that we have to take off points. But have you even really heard of The Hating Game? This is 50 first dates that we're talking about.
But it's not... I just think...
I at least think it needs to be higher.
The problematic parts are so problematic that... I mean, and you want to take... away points for crude humor and long shot. You want to take quality away from that. And this was more crude than long shot.
It wasn't crude in the same way, but I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
Bad quality humor.
I would, but that's kind of comedy section. Because I don't know if we got rid of quality. Did we for long shot? Listen, I don't need to rank this high because I do agree that some of it was cringy. But I do think that it needs to be higher than The Hating Game.
So what, a 7?
I would say I'm fine with a 7.
Okay.
All right. Lightheartedness for Hating Game.
I mean, there's really no
stakes. This is just fun flirty.
I mean,
I felt a little...
It's not the most upbeat tone, I would say.
Because they're both loners. She has a blog about Smurfs. And, like, they both have secret, like, depression things. Do you know what I mean? Like, just...
The tone of the movie throughout is kind of, like, it's either rainy or it's snowy or they're inside. Like, but, it like, didn't you know feel as vibrant as some of the other movies we've had.
I agree.
So maybe this is also kind of mid.
7.5, I'm saying.
Like a 7. Okay.
Yeah. I'm with that because I think that there's no stakes, so that's... really bumps it up, but, like, there's a moodiness. I agree. Okay, lightheartedness for 51st dates. Oh, my God.
I mean, it's just devastating.
It's so devastating. But, again...
I think that's why they have it take place in Hawaii, because it's gorgeous, bright, fun.
I agree. Imagine this in a winter in New York. No.
The penguins and the walruses were really cute.
Yeah, I agree, because he has worked at the zoo, yeah.
But it is such a sad premise that I do think it needs to be maybe a little bit lower.
I think it has to be lower because I can watch this once or twice a year, whereas, like, other things I can watch frequently, right? Like, How to Lose a Guy, like we said, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, I could watch that every single day. This, it's like, I'm crying at the end. This takes a lot out of me. This is a heavier movie. So are you thinking
like a six?
Six and a half. Okay. Like 1 point down from the Hating Game. Is that crazy? Or you want 1.5? I'm okay with six. We're talking about lightheartedness. This is very heavy. What am I talking about? Okay, six. Six. Comedy, Hating Game. I don't really remember.
Really funny, maybe.
Yeah, I don't remember laughing really. Like, maybe they tried to do here and there, but it was like, not focused on that at all.
No, it was like they were both kind of quirky.
But and, not in you know, a point.
The banter, I think, was supposed to be somewhat humorous, but it wasn't funny.
I'm giving five.
It was just like a, five.
Five. 50 First Dates comedy. So this is Adam Sandler. They're obviously trying. They might not have hit on every mark, but they're definitely, like, this is higher than Hating Game because there were funny parts. Of him trying to pick her up on the side of the road, I thought was funny.
Him trying to pick her up on the side of the road was funny. Penguins were funny.
And also the people at the cafe I thought were adorable and funny, how they're making fun of him. They're like, you're never going to get her.
Yes.
The dad.
The cook was so funny.
Yes. Actually. The dad and the brother were funny.
We do need to take off points for Rob Schneider.
I think that's...
And we need to take off points for the co-worker.
Yeah, I think that that's where you could take off points, but I think they tried to hit comedy elsewhere, and elsewhere did work. There was just parts that we do have to decline a little bit for. I'm going to lean towards 7.5, 8.
I'm leaning towards 7, just because I do think we have to deduct them points for the skin darkening somewhere.
I thought I was with my score. I can do 7.5. We'll meet in the middle.
Okay, 7.5.
Just because there were funny, like I was a little...
Yeah, there are funny moments.
Okay. Romance, last category, Hating Game. This is a classic, enemies to lovers.
Classic, but mid.
Agreed. Listen, you heard us. We're giddy throughout this whole movie. I'm enjoying every second of it. When it comes down to the numbers.
But, I mean, we don't really get a very deep look into who Lucy is, I would say.
Yeah.
Other than that she writes the Smurf fan fiction.
Yeah.
We don't see a lot of reasons why this couple works in the long term.
True.
Other than their sexual chemistry.
Yeah.
And that they both like to read.
Yeah.
So, would this couple end up together in the end? I don't think we even know enough about them.
I don't know. I think that it's just forks proximity. And I think that once they work at other jobs for a little while, they might get sick of each other. They don't have that battle anymore.
Well, they're still battling, but I feel like that might just get tiring. I wouldn't want to battle a whole relationship.
Yeah, no way. So I'm gonna lean, what are you leaning on this? Six?
Like a six.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right. 50 First Dates romance.
I mean, this might be a 10.
I think it might be a 10.
Just because of the sacrifice.
I'm not even questioning. I'm putting 10 down right now. I mean, this...
It's just
beautiful.
One of the most romantic premises for a movie. Like we said, it should be a Nicholas Sparks film. And every Nicholas Sparks film is basically a 10 in romance.
Yeah, 100%. You want to hear the scores? Do you have a guess?
I don't know, because we're kind of all over the place.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm asking you if you have a guess. Because I feel like usually we have like a landslide or something.
I don't know.
All right. Hating Game is 34. 50 First Dates is 37.
Oh, wow. That's further away than I thought they would be. But I guess the 6 versus 10 in romance really...
I think that's what really nailed it
down.
Made it big. Because,
yeah,
I was kind of iffy on what was going to be going forward, honestly. Because they're just very different types of movies.
Yeah. Their strengths and weaknesses are so opposite each other.
Yep.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, we forgot to read about what the Rotten Tomatoes...
Well, let's talk about it now.
Okay.
Hating Game... Audience score was a 77%, so still pretty good.
Yeah, well, that's higher pretty much that's pretty much spot on with the critics.
The Hating Game's dismayingly retrograde approach to the battle of the sexes is often offset by the sparkling chemistry between its well-matched leads. That's a dense one to unpack.
Yeah, I was like literally like you're saying it to me, and I can't even comprehend what you're saying.
So we'll say we agree. Because they do have kind of a nice chemistry.
They do.
Chemistry.
It's fun. Yeah.
50 First Dates, they say gross out humor overwhelms the easy chemistry between Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore. who brings some energy and yucks to this tale of a girl with short-term memory loss what? And a guy who tries to get her to
love. Okay, this is crazy. What is happening at the critics' Rotten Tomatoes? Okay, between Adam Sandler and Drew Barrymore, their easy chemistry. Couldn't agree more. They are so good together. The rest of this, I don't even know what they're saying to me.
I mean, yeah, gross out humor I would agree with because that Rob Schneider is so gross.
Yeah, that's true.
Audience score was 65%, so not great.
Wow, that's crazy.
But
that's shocking. I just thought everyone loved this movie.
I thought it was kind of considered a real classic as well.
Yeah. Well,
it's classic in my household.
Yeah, it's moving forward, so. All right.
All right.
That wraps it up, people. Don't forget to check out the bracket on our website. The link is in the description. We'll also be posting the final scores.
Send us your thoughts on this week's episode at thetropereport@gmail.com.
Or check out our Instagram and Twitter @thetropereport, where we post quotes from each episode.
If you want even more Trope Report, check out our Letterboxd account, where we are posting reviews of the movies we have watched.
Next week, we're going to have You've Got Mail versus No Strings Attached. Interesting.
Ooh.
Both mid for me, right. But we'll see.
Until next time,
keep it romantic.